it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
Big or small, pet or not, what is your best story involving an animal? 206-803-ROCK.
You ever seen the video of that raccoon that has cotton candy?
No.
Oh, can't figure out what's going on in its mouth or something?
No. He drops it in the water.
And it disappears?
Yeah, and he's like shocked. I don't know.
They clean their food.
What's that?
They clean their food, which is what he was doing.
He dropped it in the water on purpose.
Right. He put it in the water so that it would clean it off, but it's just
It just
sugar.
Dissipates, and he's just like,
So raccoons wash their food first.
Yeah.
I mean, we call them trash, but like, I don't always rinse my food.
And what's not trash to him?
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
He's a raccoon.
Yeah.
Right? Like people, like my buddy's brother is like one of those mushroom foragers, right?
Yeah.
Well, animals might think it's trash.
All right, raccoon, he's got cotton candy. He's kind of pissed.
What the hell, man?
Hey. What the F?
There they go.
That serves him right.
I want to serve cotton candy to raccoons.
Just to mess with him?
Just to mess with him, man.
I feel like that city fat one in your house, though, he'd just be like, oh, thanks, man.
I think he'd stick me up with a knife.
Yeah. Was it the kid at the Mariners game that was all excited on the cotton candy years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Mike and I were at that game.
I wonder whatever happened to that girl. She's probably like in college now.
What was she excited about?
She was just eating. She was just eating.
It's a weeknight game.
All right.
For some reason, Mike and I just happened to be at that game.
Okay.
It's cold out, they're not doing well, and they just keep going to this little kid who has apparently never had cotton candy. Yeah. You've seen her.
She's fired up. She's like
just like going, oh.
She's on crack, man. She's like, wow, this is amazing.
It's like nowadays, right? They got all kind of different juices for kids, right?
Sure.
Some of them was like they don't have as much sugar or whatever. But my buddy, his second daughter, forget how old she was, but I was like, let's give her a little juice. And same thing, just a little hit of juice, and then it's like,
you've created
and she just
a
kept,
demon.
Like, leaning her head forward, like more juice.
Yeah, dude, juice is solid.
Yeah, sugar.
Big or small, pet or not, what is your best story involving an animal? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tim. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
Hey, so my story is not as wild as that guy that mauled his girlfriend with an American pit bull.
Good. But, that's a good thing.
God. But. Years ago, I got read into a classified program where we were working out in the desert, and part of the read-in, they're like, hey, so in the hangar, we've hatched a bird, a roadrunner, and his name is Fred, and Fred, they hatched him inside the hangar so that he would hang out there and kill all the scorpions and rattlesnakes around.
So it's like a barn cat.
So wait, do they eat rattlesnakes and scorpions?
Yeah, they are awesome. So I didn't see Fred for my first couple weeks there. I knew, like we were all told, you're fired on the spot if you screw with Fred. And we worked all night. Like daytimes, we were off. And so one night, someone's like, oh, look at Fred. And immediately saw all these lights going towards the hangar. And the way the roadrunners kill the snakes is they run in circles around them. And the snakes just cannot... after a while, it either wears them out or the snakes just cannot come with the calculation on how to defeat that. The roadrunner bites it on the back of the head and then smashes its head into the ground.
Jesus. And, did you ever witness this?
Oh, it's awesome. Like, I mean, that was like the highlight of my time. Like working there was watching Fred. And
how long
and
did
the
it,
other thing,
wait, how long did it take Fred? So say Fred's going to score for the snake. So as far as running in circles and all that kind of thing, how long does it take before he can finally do his death stroke?
It's like about 1 minute, 1 to 3 minutes. And
just running in circles.
Yeah, because they're like chickens. They can run forever. And the snake cannot keep turning around, though, forever. And
damn.
So, and then the other thing was, since we worked all nights, there was this coyote that came out. We all nicknamed him Wiley. And we usually had beef jerky in our pockets, and so everyone just throw them a chunk. So, I mean, we basically trained the coyote to hang out with us. And
so basically you worked with a coyote and a roadrunner.
And a roadrunner.
Yeah, it was wild.
Nice.
And then one final story, if we got time. When I went overseas, we'd sleep out in the desert just on the floor, and twice I've woken up with cobras laying right beside me trying to get warm from me.
No. What do you mean twice?
Oh.
If you said it happened once, I would understand.
What desert?
I can't say, but it was outside of the U.S. But the nice thing is cobras, when they wake up, they're a little groggy. So you can just, yeah, you have time to get away from them, or at least the two that I've been around.
Aren't they only really like in India?
No, they're in several other places.
Okay.
He almost slipped up.
You were just sleeping on the ground, no tent?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, how did this happen twice, right? Because, look, I'm just saying, I'm sleeping out in the desert. I wake up once. There's cobra snuggling up to me. There's no chance I'm doing that again.
Why? Well, it was his job. I don't think he had a choice.
When you're doing surveillance, it's long hours watching something. And, I mean, and you're usually sleep deprived, so it doesn't really take a whole lot for you to, like, conk out.
Did people warn you about this, or is this something you discovered?
I hadn't heard about it until the first time that happened with me, and I know two other people that's happened with. One guy actually went into a sleeping bag. I'm like, screw that.
Did you sign up for this job? Like, when you, like, do they say, like, did you, or do you say,
are you a recruiter?
I want to do this, or do they say you would be the right person to do this, or how does one get themselves in this situation? You know.
So here's my view on this. The coolest jobs that are out there are not advertised like that. It's usually like, hey, we need somebody for doing some crappy, for whatever job. We don't know what it is. And so the guys that, like, don't want to volunteer for that, like, end up not doing the cool stuff. It's once you volunteer for something like that and then you get pulled into a room or you have to sign a non-disclosure form, that's where I start getting excited. I'm like, oh, so we're signing away that we'll never talk about this for the rest of our lives. I have no idea what it is, but it's probably
okay.
More interesting.
That's what I was going to ask. Do they make you sign the NDA before?
Yes.
They tell you.
Yeah,
okay.
You have no clue.
Did you even give it any thought, or did you say, hand me the pen, brother?
That's the latter. I've done it 7 times and never regretted it ever.
So you can't, like, even if you, let's just, I don't know, let's just assume that you and a girlfriend, a new wife, or whatever the deal is, you go traveling, and she says, I want to go here. And you said, okay. Even if you've been there before, you can't act like you've been there before. Like, oh, that is nice. Yeah, that's, they have a museum. What do you know? I mean, like, you have to act like you have to feign ignorance. You've never even stepped foot in that area.
Yeah, because someone could, the intelligence world is just putting puzzle pieces together.
Right.
So if you know what I did or who I was, and then you hear something like that, you could start piecing it together, especially with social media and especially with, like, petabytes of data that never get deleted. So right now it could be a mystery, but yeah, in
so
the future,
you're not getting your passport stamped on these operations.
He probably has multiples.
Yeah. So you have a diplomatic passport for going in certain areas, and then other places, yeah, you just don't go in with anything, and that's a whole nother realm.
Yeah, if you go in with nothing, then yeah.
Let me ask you this. You ever just slipped up and started talking another language at, like, a restaurant?
I speak 7 languages.
But you can't act like you know them, right?
Okay, but wait. Have you ever heard someone talking smack about you? You're a tourist somewhere, right? And you realize that someone else on the train's talking S about your ass, but they don't know that you know what they're saying.
Yeah, so that's happened a lot with me. especially, like, Arabs, they love to talk crap about you. And so I'm dyslexic, so Arabic came way natural to me because you're reading right to left.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I should pick up. So does that mean you can read Yiddish or, you know?
Nope.
You cannot.
When does Yiddish come in handy? I'm just saying, in the scheme of things
that
this man has done,
if you can read Hebrew, it's still right to left.
We're not teaching you Arabic, we're teaching you Yiddish.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can translate the bar mitzvah. I mean, like,
what a schnoz you have.
Right.
Email the guys at the men's room at mensroomlive.com and get you some men's room IPA beer brats. They're available now at Uli's Famous Sausage.
Let's get a contestant on the line right now. For your guess is as good as mine, 206-803-ROCK. I'm telling you, man, on the shrimp sandwich, it's good. So I just assume on a fish sandwich.
No. Look, again, shrimp, I agree. Shrimp belong in cocktail sauce. Look, it's personal for me, okay? When I take out my mom, yeah, Mike, she gets too many sauces. Then the one day she was dipping her crab cake and tartar sauce and not the... I was just like, what are we doing here? We got to separate things. Shrimp, cocktail, good. Right? Oysters, cocktail, good. Fish sandwich, bad. Tartar sauce.
Did you try it?
No.
Have you ever put malt vinegar on your fish sandwich?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But right. I mean, that's like eating fish and chips.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, this is a very nice email, guys. Fisher House. Wanted to reach out to you and thank you guys for your contributions towards the Fisher House.
You're welcome.
My uncle Tim Smith, he is a veteran and has been battling lymphoma for a few years. Recently, it's taken a turn for the worst, and he's been admitted to the ICU at the VA hospital. The staff there do an amazing job and keep him as comfortable as possible. Now, through this incredibly hard time, the Fisher House has allowed my Aunt Esther to stay at their house on campus. She lives on Whidbey Island, and there would be no way she would ever be able to make that drive every day to be with her husband. And the Fisher House has allowed her to be with him through his exhaustive fight the whole way. And our family appreciates it more than you could ever imagine. He's had the love of his life there throughout it all. So I want to thank the Fisher House and thank you for the funding you provide. Keep on rocking and doing what you do does make a difference. Thanks, guys. That's from Shane. Shane, that's our listeners. Buying the beer. Buying the sausage.
Absolutely is.
Buying the salsa. So right, as long as you continue to do that, we can help out the Fisher House.
That's the tough part about the Fisher House. Great place to support. Glad to hear it's working for you.
Yeah.
But you, ideally, we wouldn't have anybody having to stay at the Fisher House.
That is true.
You know what
that
I mean? It's one of those things. It's like, you know, but I am glad to hear that. Also, a little creepy. I have an Uncle Tim.
Uncle Tim, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the work they do there is amazing. And if you ever get a chance to take a tour of the place and spend some time there, it's just amazing to see all the good that's done in the area. And again, man, there's three of them here. When we first got here, there were two.
Two, yeah.
So,
and beer money.
Time for all your guesses as good as mine. Did we just lose our contestant?
We did.
All right, call back if you want to play. 206-803-ROCK. If not, I'm going to let you guys play the game. All right, so our categories today, we have the states with the best and worst dental health. They said it's too much of a stretch to declare that residents of some states have the best teeth in the nation, but they at least seem to lead the way when it comes to dental health. The fine folks at Wallet Hub, they factored in several metrics. Percentage of adults and adolescents who regularly visit the dentist, the number of dentists, the number of dental clinics, treatment costs, and even consumption of sugary drinks to bestow the bragging rights. So we have the top states for dental care, and we have the bottom worst finishers with their overall scores.
Okay.
So kind of a 2-in-1 on that one. Then we have the 10 states with the highest auto theft risk, according to new data. So you guys want to go with stolen cars, or do you want to go dental?
I'm saying dental, the bad side. That's me. I just feel like it'll be easier.
All right, fair enough.
I'm with you.
All right.
Bad side of dental.
Let's do it. Down with bad dental?
Bad dental.
Now,
who comes to mind when you first think of bad dental hygiene? I bet you 3 out of 4 of us thought of the same person.
West Virginia?
You know what?
As a state, yes.
I feel that people in West Virginia actually take better care of their teeth than most people just based on trying to fight that stereotype, if that makes sense.
I get you.
It's almost like a thing, a point of contention. Like, you know what? We have fluoride.
We brush our teeth.
Do it.
But is West Virginia on the list?
Is West Virginia on the list as far as the worst states? With uh-huh. Of course it is. It's number 49 in the country.
So your theory is wrong.
That's exactly right.
I think they really try. I think you do.
Yeah.
I think the rest of the state cares.
I mean, I told you about my cousin.
So then who's the worst? Because if they're 49,
Mississippi.
Then somebody's worse.
Mississippi is number one. That's number... no, actually, they're number... Well, they're,
does
they're,
it matter?
They're 50, but D.C. Is also in here.
Ah,
but okay. It's not on the top worst, just so you know. So, yes.
Okay.
West Virginia's
so
49.
About 51. All
Mississippi's
right.
50. There is a 51st on this list.
Worse
of the worst dental health. Yes.
I'm guessing that we got to stick around the same area down there.
I'm guessing. I mean, you know, if I were an
Arkansas.
A-hole, I'd say, well, I was going to say Arkansas, yes.
Number one, or 51 in this instance.
Oh, 51. All right.
You've got the top three anyway. Arkansas, yeah. Mississippi, and West Virginia, no strikes against you. Those are the three worst states in the United States for overall dental health.
Would you blindly French kiss someone there?
Should we just stick to my theory about SEC football?
I generally, that's how I go. What are you thinking?
Alabama.
Alabama.
Alabama is on the list at number 43. That is correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now it gets a little tougher.
There's one more western state than
some
not.
Picture like a New Mexico, maybe.
It's not touching water.
Right.
It's not touching water.
Hmm. Wyoming.
Not a bad guess. Not on the list. I think the population is too small. They can only come up on anything.
I'm telling New Mexico, man.
I'll believe it. There's some good meth down there.
New Mexico?
Yeah. Nope.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
All right, hang on. Let's focus in here.
Let's get back to basics. It is SEC football, so let's go. Let's take that.
Like, you want to throw in like a Tennessee or a Kentucky?
Sure.
Which one do you want?
I feel like Kentucky's a stronger candidate.
I think you're right.
Kentucky's 44 on the list. So far, you guys are correct on Alabama, Kentucky, West Virginia, Mississippi, and Arkansas. These are the worst states in the United States for dental care.
Tennessee might still be on
there.
Do we have any more hints?
Well, there's a couple of remote areas. I mean, remote, no matter if you're continental or not. On Alaska. A couple of these states. Alaska's 45.
All right.
That's correct. There's one that seems like it's in the middle of nowhere.
I'm telling me, like, Iowa or... Boy, Iowa feels like the middle of nowhere. Kansas feels like the middle of nowhere.
Ohio?
Not Ohio.
Yeah, I'd say
we're kind of talking out.
Okay. Two strikes. You've got 6 out of the 10.
Ooh. Thrill, pick one.
Hold on. This comes from the text line. Someone says Oklahoma.
Right. You going to go with that one?
Go Oklahoma.
Let's go with it.
Ow! Damn it, man.
Okay, stick with the SEC for just a second.
Tennessee.
Tennessee, not on the list.
Okay.
Georgia.
Not on the list.
What's down there next to Mississippi?
Like, do you do Kansas?
Did we say Louisiana?
Louisiana's 47.
How do we not think of Louisiana?
Yeah. Believe it or not, the other states include Florida,
yeah,
Texas, and Montana.
Huh.
So those are the worst dental health states. Do you guys want to take a crack real quick here best dental health states?
Let's do it. Like you said, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts is number 9 on the list.
New York.
New York is not on the list.
No. New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
New Hampshire? No, not on the list.
How about Maryland?
Not on the list.
Okay.
California.
California, not on the list.
Oh, all right, so Virginia's on the list.
Virginia's not on the list.
God, God.
PA?
Maine.
Pennsylvania, not.
There's no way.
Oh, it's close to Maryland. You said something close to Maryland.
District of Columbia.
Oh,
D.C. Okay.
I'm naming states, not territories.
Yes. Idaho somehow makes this list. This is a tough one. North Dakota, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Illinois.
Really?
So those are the states right there.
Well, I mean, again, I'm simplifying, but basically, SEC, bad teeth.
Yeah.
Big, traditional Big Ten, good teeth. Mm-hmm.
The worst dental health states in the United States, that would be Florida, Alabama, Kentucky, Alaska, Montana, Louisiana, Texas, West Virginia, Mississippi, and Arkansas.
None of those shock me.
No.
Like the places with the good teeth, thrown for a loop. All of those, they make sense, and that's sad.
Idaho, I guess, makes sense, though.
You think? Why?
Because there's, to me, Idaho really only has two areas, right? You got the crazy north end people over there, right, by Coeur d'Alene and stuff.
Yeah.
But they all have a little more money and seem like, I could see them going and getting teeth work done.
Okay.
And then the only other city really is what, like that I know, is you got to go south to Boise.
And then all the rich people who ski down there, too. Those areas, those are like where Wahlberg lives, and like, you know, Demi Moore, and all those people have homes. And like,
I didn't know they lived in Idaho.
They're Idahoans.
Idahoans.
Is that what you call it? Idahoan?
Idahoans.
Wahlberg seems right for Idaho, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I figured he'd go back to Boston.
Yeah, man. He seems like a Boston.
They're
dude,
hoping he does in Idaho.
Yeah,
show
exactly.
Today's coming up at 5:08. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be right back.
Send the Men's Room a mushy love letter at themensroom@mensroomlive.com and scoop up some delicious Men's Room roasted red salsa at your favorite store.
Here's a weird one. Starbucks worker is recovering after being attacked by a monkey in the drive-thru.
A monkey.
Officials said the pet monkey was riding in a car with its owner when the owner stopped at a Mobile, Alabama Starbucks.
Exactly where you expect to find a monkey.
Somehow the monkey got free, escaped the car through the open window. The monkey then left from the vehicle into the window of the business and punched the employee in the head. Co-workers rushed the employee's side and pulled the monkey off of the man. The monkey then re-entered the customer's vehicle before the customer drove away. The owner of the animal could face charges. This remains an active animal services investigation. Probably had no idea that day that at work I'll be punched by a monkey. I cannot believe an argument about blank led to a physical confrontation. 206-803-ROCK.
One from the text that says, I can't believe my dad got punched in the face because he told my mom's brother, my uncle, not to hit on his own cousins at my parents' wedding anniversary. That'll get you punched in the face every time. Yeah, could you not hit on your cousins? My bad. Shouldn't have intruded.
That's not a tall request.
It's really not. Not a big ask. Pretty simple thing. Hello, Luke. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Okay, so this happened many, many years ago. At like, I think it was 2009. It was a church. Basically, every second Saturday, my church used to have a men's breakfast with a lot of delicious food. And after breakfast, the kids would, the boys, to be more specific, we would go upstairs and kind of hang out and play some video games. And do you guys remember Lego Star Wars, the complete saga?
I believe I saw it as an option on the Disney Channel. I think they carry that. It was a show, right?
Well, yes, but I'm talking about the original video game, not to be confused with the Yoda Chronicles.
Okay, not familiar.
Okay, well, this one was particularly the Wii version. You know about the Wii, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, best game system of all time, in my opinion. But the point is, the boys and I, we were playing Lego Star Wars: The Complete Saga on the Wii at church. And this was before Lego Star Wars 3 offered where you can split and go into separate directions. So you were tethered on two-player mode, which was kind of frustrating. Like, if you wanted to go in one direction or the other direction, you could either go one direction or the other. It's kind of like when you try to stretch a rope. You can only go so far.
Sure.
And of course, back in the day, that led to a lot of frustration. And this was before my turn. So basically I don't remember their names, but one of the boys got really, really frustrated. He started swinging his Wii remote around in a fit of rage, and he accidentally knocked the other boy clean on the forehead. No, actually, I think it was on the temple by mistake. And of course, that kind of led to a kind of a pseudo, like a junior WWE kind of match, but not nearly as violent or gruesome. And
over
like
Star
that?
Wars Lego Wii.
Well, look, you get hit in the face with the controller, I get it.
Yeah, the frustration while playing the game was what kind of led up to it, but what pulled the trigger, so to speak, was accidentally get smacked in the face. Now, nobody was bleeding or anything, no concussions, but some of the other adult men who were in the room, after about like 10 seconds, managed to successfully break the boys out of the fight. Although in the process, I ended up getting somebody accidentally swept my leg and I landed on my backside.
I don't think that was an accident, brother. I'm telling you right now, Luke, that was, it's just the feeling I get that was on purpose. But in the melee, they knew they could get away with it. There's no reason I think that. I just think that if you got leg swept, yes, that perhaps it was very much a purpose. And I wasn't even there. But I feel like if I were, I may have taken that opportunity to do the same thing.
The sweeping of said leg?
Yeah, the sweeping of said leg.
Trip him.
Sorry, just read the text. Yeah, that's
warning.
Below that.
Warning.
Jesus Christ.
Fair shout.
Oh, my God, yeah. I really wish I could read that. Yeah,
save some.
Story you talked about earlier, Steve. We go to Kentucky. And
come on.
Stop.
Oh, man.
Think about the rest of us, dude.
An Owensboro, Kentucky doctor has agreed to have his license put on probation for 5 years after witnesses said he hit a patient during surgery in 2023, though he denies the allegations.
He hit a patient during surgery?
Sorry.
The,
the
Kentucky Board of Medical Licensure signed and agreed to order. The order details the witness allegations and the actions taken by the hospital leadership in the license probation agreement. The incident occurred at the operating room on August 21st. Three witnesses, all employees, reported seeing Martin hit a patient during the incident. One witness said Martin was having trouble removing an instrument from a tube placed in a patient during his shoulder surgery. Quote, he pulled while his voice was getting elevated and finally pulled the suture grasper out. He then proceeded to hit the patient on the right side of their face with his hand, according to the witness. A second witness similarly reported that Martin was visibly upset because he was struggling to get the instrument out. And after that, he did finally remove it, then proceeded to punch the patient in the right side of the face. Martin yanked the instrument out and then hit the patient in the face, according to the order. I guess he's been suspended for a while. A witness said a choice of words was said by Martin, and multiple instruments were being asked were being taken out aggressively or attempted to. So either way,
again, as I read the story, the patient did not do anything. Right?
That is correct.
Come on.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
Sometimes they nail it, man.
That might be. Oh my God.
Come on, man.
Okay. That is actually the funniest text I've ever heard. Oh God. Okay, moving on. One more story, real quick. A Kennewick man is in jail after allegedly punching a woman and grabbing her purse moments after she withdrew $250 from an ATM. The 24-year-old woman had gone to Bank of America on Kennewick Avenue to get some cash, according to court documents. Witnesses reported seeing a large man in black clothing run up to her, demanding the money, and then punch her in the face before stealing her purse. Witnesses said he then ran west. Officers, with the help of police dog, did follow the trail of cosmetics and other items and arrested one Eugene Banks in the backyard of a home. He did not have the purse or cash on him at the time, but the man appeared to match the woman's description of her assailant. He was arrested and put in jail in lieu of $100,000 bail.
Good. Come on, man.
Yeah. Our question, I can't believe an argument about blank led to a physical confrontation. 206-803-ROCK.
Somebody said, are you guys still laughing about that text? Can you please share it? I said, nope.
We would read it to you, but we can't.
It's hilarious. We can't share it. And then someone texted me the text. No, listen.
Did you see the one underneath it?
And that's from somebody different. Jesus Christ. Everybody got
that. That's great radio.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Need to learn more about general men's room shenanigans? Just visit the men's room page at KISW.com. This is the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat. And potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the men's room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef in the house.
Thank you, people. Thank you, folks. Everybody in here, not all the time, but I'm sure from time to time, everybody in here has enjoyed at least a cocktail on a plane.
Yes,
many a time.
Yes.
Thoreau, what's your go-to on a plane? Do you stick with beer or do you switch it up?
I don't. And you know what, man? You brought this up earlier. So I'm a beer guy by nature. But a lot of the times, depending what airline you're on, it's not the beers I want. But I can always have a Jack and Coke. Because the Coke's the same, the Jack's the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't necessarily drink them together, but I will order a Jack and Coke.
Miles?
I totally go off script on everything. Everything right. on an airplane is not normal to me anymore. So in other words, where I would normally have a diet soda or a diet Dr. Pepper, I get on an airplane, for some reason now I'm into the ginger ale world.
All right.
And that's, I mean, not even on the alcohol. I mean, all of it. I'll switch every single thing up. So I'll do like a Jack and Ginger. Never order a Jack and Ginger.
Right. But on the plane.
On a plane, Jack and Ginger seems like a pretty good idea. Gin and tonic on a plane. Seems like a pretty good idea to me. They ask if you want a little lemon, lime, put it in there.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I've even gone just the Bloody Mary mix without the vodka.
Really?
I just like it.
Wow. Okay.
What do you mix it with?
You just drink the mix.
Oh, you
just drink the mix. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, at the end of the day, that's a good Bloody Mary. You really shouldn't taste the vodka. So, if you like the mix, Mike, what do you go for when you're on a plane?
I'm a Jack and Coke guy.
Are you?
Yeah, I'll just down the Jack and then enjoy the Coke.
That's what I do.
I did tell you a few weeks ago. I had a flight. It was kind of earlier in the morning. I felt like a degenerate because I got an espresso vodka and a Sprite, but I wanted to drink the Sprite.
Okay.
So I just kept taking little nips off that little airplane bottle, then would have the Sprite.
Sure, why not?
I don't know. There's 2 12-year-olds next to me. It felt dirty.
Ah, you're teaching them something.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. They learned a lot in the first 5 minutes of Deadpool versus Wolverine before I turned it off.
Yeah, bro. It opens tough. It does not waste any time just getting
to
it.
How many people does he kill there? Like 3,000?
Well, the volume wasn't on, so I was like, all right. You know what I mean? And like...
Which helps because of the things he is saying.
Right, so I'm trying to be considerate, but I mean, halfway through that opening scene, I was just like, stop.
Yeah.
Can't have that. So this is a list of every state's favorite boozy drink to order on a plane. They break it down state by state, and actually, they have overall alcohol, soda, and juice.
Problem is, a lot of these planes don't have a lot of the popular beverages that certain states enjoy. So I can see where you're switching it up when you get on a plane.
I would also, this has happened to me twice now, once at Terrence's house, once on a plane. Just read labels correctly. There's a lot of NA beers in our mix.
Oh, right.
Like, I got this one with, like, salt and lime. I'm like, this is great. And then I realized, like, after paying, you know, whatever it is for a beer, I was like, oh, damn it, there's not even booze
in it. All that money.
Mm-hmm. Vodka cocktails, obviously, are the top choice. Leverage different states. Say, hey, give me the vodka.
All right. Is there any rhyme or reason, or are these states all over the place?
They're kind of all over the place.
Okay,
I mean, like Alabama, right? Alabama, they like whiskey cocktails.
Not shocked.
Right, so that makes a ton of sense. But, yeah, I don't know. But then you go to Arkansas, they're drinking vodka. Colorado's drinking vodka.
Colorado, I can see. Arkansas kind of surprises me. I feel like Arkansas will be on the whiskey train, you know?
Well, whiskey's right up there. So basically, there's like a tie between wine, whiskey, and vodka. They're all 11 states.
Is this box wine on the plane? I never order the wine, so I never pay attention to them pouring it. Or is it like the little bottles? If I get wine on a plane, are you pouring me a glass that's coming with a box?
I am not sure. And yeah, it used to be you got the little wine bottle.
Right.
It might go airline to airline or depending on how long the flight is.
Okay.
It's like you were saying you're flying to Spokane, but I feel like that's such a short flight. They just come by with a bottle and go, do you want a glass or not?
I think they've got a white and a red, and it's a screw top.
So it is still the bottles.
Yeah, then they just slide out of the drawer and pour you a little plastic cup of it.
Mimosa in 7 states?
Yeah.
You can get a mimosa on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, I just...
Because they have little Proseccos, and then they have some orange juice for you.
I never branch away from the Jack and Coke. Mm-hmm. Or a beer, if you have the beer I want. Maybe, like you said, for whatever reason, ginger ale on a plane, look, don't mind if I do. But I never think to get like a...
Rum and pineapple. Mix
it.
Or right,
it never crosses my mind, so it's almost mind-blowing. I'm sure it's been there the entire time, but hearing this, what?
I forget they even have fruit juice.
Yeah,
That would be good on the flight home.
Yeah.
So as far as juices go, almost every state picks the same juice if they're going to drink it.
Orange juice.
No.
Apple juice.
Really?
Apple.
Yeah.
Why?
It's weird. Like, my daughter leans apple juice all the time, but most people I know, you go orange.
So, I have a 6-pack of tiny little apple juices in my house, right? Mm-hmm. And the other day, my buddy's over, and I go, hey, while you're back there, grab me one of those apple juices. So, naturally, he goes, why apple juice? Is it, like, for something specific?
like cherry juice.
And right, like cherry juice, I know, right? Or there's other juices for certain stuff. And I literally looked at it, I go, nah, man, the other day I was at work, and during the show, Thrill was drinking one. It looked good.
And I stole that from my daughter.
So I bought a six-pack of them.
Yeah, honestly, it was good. I don't drink apple juice much. It's almost always in the house. But for whatever that day I'm leaving, usually I steal my son's crap, right?
Correct.
So I got the Fanta today. He's got the whatever iced tea drinks, which is delicious. But I saw the apple juice, and you're right, teeny tiny little bottle.
Yeah, like, do it this weekend.
I'm going to hook it up.
If you go to breakfast with somebody or you go to brunch, I know it's natural to get, like, orange juice or whatever. Honestly, just get an apple juice. You'd be shocked how delicious it is.
They have pineapple juice
Texters
on the plate,
are telling
right?
us that the wine comes in a can on Alaska Airlines.
It is on the can. All right. Because pineapple, right. When we were in Mexico, man, that's the only thing my son would drink there, right?
Water, pineapple juice?
And it is freaking delicious, but every morning. But it just occurred to me, if you go make cocktails on a plane, you got to have apple juice or pineapple juice. But people give you a weird look. When you ask for just pineapple juice, I had to bribe a guy at the bar. Was it 2 years ago?
They just don't
ago?
Have it on the. They don't have it in
he
the system
it,
to be able to charge it.
Right. That was
because it's
the
for
man.
Mixed drinks, but you just can't order a can of pineapple.
And, well, and unfortunately, a lot of bars are only going to have those tiny little ones.
That's what the guy
and
had.
It's expensive.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I want to say I bought two or three. Like I was not even hungover yet. You're still drunk from the night before, kind of thing. And I'm like, I know pineapple juice will help me. And the guy's like, dude, like I have it, but like Miles said, I don't know how to ring it in. So I think you rang it in as like two beers
something
like that, just to get the cost. I'm like, I don't care. You can charge me $1,000 for those right now. I will pay it.
Yeah, we used to have cranberry juice on the gun, the bar I worked at.
Yeah.
And that was always kind of my go-to beverage in the mornings. Mm-hmm. Just cranberry juice. I mean, honestly, right now, I think I have cran grape or cran apple sitting in my fridge. Mm-hmm. So I like to mix it up. Now, some of these states are a little weird, right? Let's go with Louisiana. Overall, they like Coca-Cola. Alcohol?
Not shocking.
White wine.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they cook a lot with it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't know how much they drink, but I mean, I know they drink it between splashing it into the pan.
All right. We grew up in Maryland, or we all lived in Maryland. What do you think Maryland's number one alcoholic beverage is on a plane?
Beer.
Rum.
So for some reason, they do not include beer on this list. Obviously, beer would be number one.
Okay, then rum. I'm with Miles.
Mimosa.
Really? Mm.
Yeah.
Huh.
And look, everybody has different traditions, right? Like my brother will not get on a plane, no matter what time of day it is, without getting a Bloody Mary.
But he'll get in the bar before he gets on the plane.
Right? On the plane.
On the plane he gets
That's what he drinks on the plane.
Huh.
Kind of like you say, you switch it up. But yeah. I'm like, why? He's like, I don't know. He's like, that's just...
That's my plane drink.
What I drink on a plane. Let's see. Some other one. Nevada likes the mimosa. New Hampshire. I like them. Their favorite overall beverage? Water.
Really?
Alcoholic? Whiskey cocktail, soda, Coca-Cola, and juice, cranberry.
New Hampshire, keeping it basic.
Yeah, well, at least they're unique. Almost every state overall says water, which even if you're drinking alcohol on a plane, I still probably drink two or three glasses of water.
Sure.
Depending on the flight.
Right.
And like we said, they did put beer on the list because I think beer obviously would be number one. Now let's see our home state here of Washington. Mike, you grew up here. Overall, what do Washingtonians drink on a plane? The soda.
Oh, it's a soda. Oh, shoot.
So overall, generally is either water or the classic.
White Claw.
Coca-Cola.
White Claw, the classic.
So Washington, overall, Coca-Cola, alcoholic drink, vodka cocktail.
I wondered if we were vodka.
Yep. And then apple juice in there.
I was going to say, tell me apple juice is on there.
Right. Miles, you're a West Virginia guy. Water, whiskey cocktail, Coca-Cola, apple. Let's see. Thrill, you grew up in upstate New York to start. Water, white wine, Coca-Cola, apple.
Really?
There's not... Most places seem to be on the same thing.
Is there anybody crazy like Alaska or Hawaii? Do they do anything different? Or is that just, you know... I'm trying to think, like, is tequila the most popular drink in, you know, New Mexico? Or
Arizona,
or California, or... I don't know, rum for Florida, or I guess it's just all basically the same stuff.
But somehow, when you get on a plane, everyone's palate changes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Miles, no. Arizona's favorite is red wine.
It's too hot for red wine.
Maybe that's why they drink. I'm on a plane, and it's temperature control.
Room temperature. Yeah. Jesus, I want some cold.
Arizona, though, that makes sense, though, too, is it's so hot down there, people are generally healthier. And I know a lot of people.
And indoors.
Right. All they drink for their health is like red wine.
Really?
Yeah. Now, listen, over the years, I think we've kind of figured out some of these studies are true or not true. But I know a lot of people love red wine. But I want to say, honestly, at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure tequila is the cleanest booze you can drink that's easiest for your body and for your liver to kind of go through.
Specifically the Blanco.
Yeah. Right, to go through your system and everything. So if you're really looking to cut down on calories and maybe keep a little bit of health in your life, get a tequila with a little soda water and a twist of lime.
Thank you, Head Chef. We appreciate it. Okay, coming up at 5:08. Speaking of, we will drink and toast with the shot of the day. You are listening to The Men's Room.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Reach out to the Men's Room on the socials, at Men's Room Live, and enjoy the new Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Justin, are you sober or not sober?
Sober. Just got off.
Okay. All right, Justin, our Men's Room poll. Pick a tough job. You doing the cop thing, paramedic, military, or a nurse?
I'm going to go with cops and... Just for the fact that if things do go wrong, I can finally say I was this many days from retirement.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Nice. I like it. You got a plan.
I was 2 weeks away from retirement.
All right. Here is your question. Machu Picchu is located in what country?
Peru.
Boom. One and done.
One and done. All right. True or false question for you there with the big brain. True or false, penguin poop contains laughing gas. Penguin poop.
Huh. Please be true.
Huh. It is. You've got to be kidding me.
Do you think wooks at festivals would eat it?
At a festival, yes.
Well, because, I mean, they're doing nitrous, which is laughing gas.
Which, that's the thing. There's some nitrous. I don't know what the percentage of the nitrous is in their poop, but there are traces of nitrous. Yeah, laughing gas and penguin poop. Who knew?
You would have come to my tent and eat some poop?
Yeah, girl. Hello, Sean. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola. Sean, are you sober or not sober?
Team sober.
All right, Sean. Welcome to Big Dummy. Okay, our Men's Room poll. Pick a tough job. Cop, paramedic, military, or nurse?
I'm going to go military.
Military. What branch?
Let's go for the Army.
Okay. All right.
Good. All right, let's see here. What do we have for you, my friend? Here is your question. What fruit comes in chubby gray and jubilee varieties?
Oh, man. A grape.
That would have been my guess as well.
Cherries.
Not cherry.
Oh. I was confident.
Watermelon.
Oh. Hmm. And I had some watermelon today. It's not quite the season yet.
Not quite.
It wasn't bad.
My son's like counting down the days.
Yeah.
All right, your question. What sports Hall of Fame is located in Cooperstown?
Oh, that's MLB.
Boom. Okay, nice job.
Would anyone go to Cooperstown if that were not there?
Canton's is the same way.
No, you're not wrong. At least with Canton, you can go, look, I'm close to Cleveland or Columbus. Like, there's somewhere decent to go when you're done with Canton, but, man, Cooperstown is...
Yeah. I mean, most of them. Would you go to Springfield, Massachusetts for any other reason besides the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Nope. Where's the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Probably somewhere in Canada, where it should be.
I have no idea where that's at.
I don't either.
Well, it definitely shouldn't be in, like, I don't know, Toronto.
It could be in Detroit.
That's true. Probably like Miami.
Or Minnesota would be a good call.
Somewhere cold.
Oh, it's in Toronto.
Toronto.
Is it in Toronto?
Yep.
See? You've got to be kidding me.
No.
It shouldn't be.
They do it right.
Maple leaves, really?
Hello, Julius. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Julius, are you sober or not sober?
Oh, man, I've been sober in 20 years, bro.
Okay, Julius, I believe you.
You have or haven't?
I have not.
All right.
Not. Okay, something to be proud of. Julius, pick a tough job. You being a cop, a paramedic, military, or a nurse?
Well, I know it's a high standard, but I'd be the dirtiest cop Seattle has ever seen.
Okay. High standard.
I think I'd have you beat. I mean, I really do. Just like, all right, man, you're a drug dealer. Wait, what kind of drugs are you dealing? Okay, let's strike a deal.
Hand over.
If it's a drug, I don't want. Track. Like, if you got meth, I'm arresting you. If you have the ones I like, all right, man.
You'd be one of those vice cops that takes it too far and ends up in jail.
Yeah, probably day one.
You're going to end up on YouTube, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there, you know.
It's like, dude, you're in uniform. You're not undercover. You can't do that.
I know, but my thought is, like, the cost of this is very extreme. But I can confiscate a certain amount from this gentleman, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. Yeah. All right. Your question. What is the last name of Lucy and Linus in the Peanuts comics?
Smith? Oh, I don't know.
Smith. Nope. It's the same as a Sports Center anchor.
Current.
Van Pelt.
Oh,
it Lucy. Lucy and Linus.
Linus Van Pelt.
Oh, hey.
They're all related.
I got that.
All right, your question. What taste are cats unable to detect?
Sour?
Yep. Sweet.
Oh.
Which kind of makes sense when you think about a cat.
Get all up in there.
The song Like a Rolling Stone was the first top ten hit for what artist?
Like a Rolling Stone?
Yes.
Did he keep this one?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. I don't know.
I thought it was a group.
Bob Dylan.
Rolling Stone? Oh, Bob Dylan.
Am I thinking, is that the same song? Papa was a Rolling Stone. Mm-hmm. Wherever he lay his head, was his home.
No.
This is like a
Rolling Stone. Like a Rolling Stone. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
This is like a, not Papa. Come on, man. All right, your question. What nursery rhyme character was worried? Whoops, sorry. What nursery rhyme character was warned that, quote, the cow was in the corn?
Well, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Mr. McGregor?
Little Boy Blue.
It was, in fact, Little Boy Blue.
He needed the money.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
The cow's in the corn, you know what I mean?
I don't, but pass it. All right, the question. The Roadrunner is the official bird of what U.S. state?
Arizona?
New Mexico. Question six, Julius.
Because they were in New Mexico, right? The tunes.
Well, they should have made the left at Albuquerque.
Yeah, that's right.
I can only assume he was still in New Mexico.
That's right.
All right, the question. What is Peter's TV network called on the TV show Family Guy?
Oh, man.
I was just watching this.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah, I mean, really do not overthink this. Peter's TV network.
P-Network, PTV, or something like that?
PTV. I'll give it to you, PTV, which it sounds worse than PTV.
He had a lot of great programming on PTV.
What is it, like his own public access?
No, he bought a satellite, man, and he actually broadcast television out of his own home. You know, Quagmire got on it with a midnight cue. He had, like, the side boob hour on there. There was a lot of great programming. Cheeky Bastard was Stewie and Brian's show. Yeah, it was a good channel until the FCC came in and screwed them all over.
I'll be damned. Game is Big Dummy, 206-803-ROCK.
The FCC, that was their show tune for the FCC, and they caught it. They were like, that's actually great. We love it. Put it out there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, they loved it.
Hello, Valdez. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Valdez, are you sober or not sober?
I am sober.
Okay. All right, Valdez, you're going to pick a new tough job. Are you taking a cop, paramedic, military, or nurse?
Military.
What branch?
I would go Marines.
Okay.
You'll be there with Ted.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Valdez, here is your question. Why is Max mad in the 1979 movie Mad Max?
His family was killed?
Yeah,
one and done.
Pretty nice much,
job.
Yeah.
Nice job.
I thought he was just thirsty.
Nah, man, they killed his kid and his wife, and you know what? Max was angry. All right, got a one and done question. Let's give you a true or false. True or false, it is impossible to poison a possum.
True.
Really?
Yeah, man, they have some kind of protein in their body, so whatever poison you give them, whatever this protein is, it is fast acting. It either chills them from it, or an exit to the body. But either way, scientists are studying it to see if they can come up with something for us.
Damn.
You know? Okay. Yeah, you can't poison.
I think it's why they're actually really good for the environment, because they take out a lot of very noxious things, and it doesn't affect them.
Other than their looks.
Yeah, there.
Email the guys at the men's room at mensroomlive.com and get you some Men's Room IPA beer brats. They're available now at Uli's Famous Sausage.
Have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk. And Steve, a thrill hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we make it personal. We toast longtime friend, longtime companion, longtime co-worker, Kevin Deers, who, if you listen to the station, probably familiar with the man as he joined us 16 years ago. Think about that. In 2009. And he joined after winning a contest. And he ended up getting the chance to host Metal Shop with his buddy Ian, right? So then he went on to become the longtime host of Loud and Local. And I just want to comment on that, all right? So radio is a lot of things. And Kevin absolutely represented none of it. And I say that in the sense of he was not on the radio to feed his ego. He was not on the radio because he was an attention star. Like, these things, and trust me, we work with a lot of people. That's 98% of them. This had nothing to do with his love of being on radio at all. He was not on the radio to play some songs that a corporate bean counter said, hey, the young people will like this. My man loved metal, and my man always wanted to give local bands a shot of hearing their music heard on a 50,000-watt flamethrower that we call KISW. And this guy literally was in radio because he wanted to introduce metal to the metal fans, did not care what corporate said, and never worried about that. He played the music he wanted to play. That's why they gave him a spot to do it. And with the Loud and Local, his commitment to the local musicians. And look, Seattle has a pretty good music scene. I think that's been well established. But to have a champion like that at a radio station as big as this one, that's an incredible thing that most cities don't have. And this guy did it because he loved it. He was not asked to do this. He did it because he chose to pursue it. But that's also the way he was off mic, right? And that's where we got to know him, as well as just doing the shows. The guy's the most genuine guy, one of the most genuine guys I've met, talking to my wife, and she has said this for the 16 years she's known him. She always calls Kevin the nicest guy in the world. All the time. Yep. It didn't matter if you brought him up in any conversation. Oh, Kevin, he's the nicest guy in the world, man. And he's one of those guys that will definitely be sorely missed here because he had a lot of passion. He had a lot of enthusiasm. And again, that's how you knew him. We knew this guy as a friend, a brother, all the rest of it. But in addition to his love of music and being on the air and honestly just talking to people, man, this guy, sometimes you get tired of it. Kevin did not. I mean, that was the thing. Kevin wanted to take pictures with everyone. He wanted to take pictures of everyone. He would bring his phone in. And if he were in the studio, there's no way he did not look at 100 pictures before.
Oh, yeah.
As a guaranteed, dude, check this out. But he kind of targeted each person because he knew what you were into. So he'd show me one group of pictures, skip through those, show Ted a different set, but all from the same event, but the things we could appreciate. And you kind of counted on that from him, man.
And also, there was that time where, you know, every time he would go to a show, support a band, whatever, he would buy the T-shirt.
Yeah.
I think he went an entire year wearing a different shirt.
Oh, yeah.
It might have been more.
Yeah. Every single, it was impressive. Every day, like, what do you got on today?
But it was cool, man.
I mean, Loud and Local Fest last summer was great.
It was great. It was fantastic, man. I had a lot of fun up there. Kevin's going to be missed. And here's the thing. It's not just his love of music and his enthusiasm and all that. And just the way he treated everyone around him is the way, trust me, Kevin treated you the way you want to be treated, whether you deserve to be treated like that or not. This guy treated with the utmost respect. But it wasn't just music that he loved. His other big passion, professional wrestling, man.
Yes, sir.
I mean, this dude was about wrestling as much as he was about metal. So, Mike, you found this, and I guess in the professional wrestling world, which was his absolute passion outside of music, when they lose someone, it is the 10-bell salute.
Correct. Every time that they lose somebody that's within their ranks there, it's tradition that they have a moment of silence, and they have a 10-bell salute out there basically to start whatever show that comes up next on the current schedule, as it were.
All right, so we actually have the 10-bell salute in honor of Kevin Deers.
You got it? Oh, it's me. Hang on. I'll look.
Yeah.
I got it over here.
Smooth.
Great setup.
Smooth
my
transition.
Bad, mm-hmm. My bad. That was a great setup.
He would have loved that.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. So we know Kevin's going to be missed because he already is. That simple.
Yeah.
So let's drink to Kevin Deers. We pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, man.
A Double Flush production.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.